Greetings to everyone that's here today, in Jesus' precious name. It is good to be in the house of God and worship together again. I was blessed by being here for the devotions and Sunday school class. It is always just encouraging how the Word speaks to us and meets our needs. And for a message today, I have chosen to preach a message on Father's Day. I'm not sure what you're expecting. I don't know. I don't suppose we do that every year. But if you think about it, every one of us has or did have a father. The way God designed human life to reproduce, there has to be a father. Some of you may have grown up without a father present in your life. Some of you may have lost your father at a very young age to death. But we all have a father. And fathers play a huge, huge part in our lives. Fathers are responsible, usually, for setting the tone in their homes as far as what we do and what we don't do. They're responsible for the spiritual well-being of their children. Fathers play a huge role in our churches. It's easier sometimes to look to the leadership of a church or the preachers or the ministers. You need to teach my children this and this and this. And I'm going to push back a bit on that from my perspective and say a lot of that is the father's responsibility to teach his children. There's teaching given across this pulpit that is good, hopefully, and sound. But there is a huge teaching that needs to happen at home with father. Father teaching his children. Welcome to our visitors here today. It is good to see visitors with us. We invite you to worship with us. Hopefully you can be blessed with our service here. The title of my message today is, I titled it, Rise Up, O Fathers. And it's somewhat taken from Rise Up, O Man of God. But I changed it a bit to say, Rise Up, O Fathers. And to start, I'd like to read a passage from the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 3. I invite you to turn there if you'd like. Matthew 3, I'll start in verse 13 and read through 17. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. I'll be reading from the New King James. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't know what you expect from this particular setting, or this what's recorded here. For Father's Day, we have a baptism of a very important person, obviously. But I'd like to hone in on 16 and 17. Jesus came up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. A voice came from heaven saying, This is powerful. This is powerful, folks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. There's so much conveyed in this sentence. Several takeaways. There's 4 points I'd like to draw from this. God the Father is present with his Son. He was there. Jesus looked up and saw the Spirit coming. God was there. Number two, God the Father acknowledges his Son. Number three, God the Father loves his Son. And the fourth one is God the Father affirms his Son. This was all done in one little nutshell here. I will acknowledge that God and the Son and the Spirit, it's a three. They're one, they're three. They're three different ones. They're still one. There's maybe some exceptions made here. But I'd like to pull that from this to this verse. God was present with his Son. God the Father acknowledges his Son. God the Father loves his Son, and he affirms his Son. Fathers need to be physically and emotionally present with their children. There's really no substitute for that. Daddies can be gone a lot. We are gone a lot for jobs. We're gone for responsibilities. We need to work, usually. Most of us work away from home, so we can be gone quite a bit. But when we are home, we need to be present. And not just physically there, but we need to be present. We need to be engaging our children. We need to be carrying on conversations. We need to be playing games with our children. We need to be there. Be involved. Be in the thick of it. Listen to what they say. Listen to them tell their stories of what happened at school or what all they did that day. Laugh, share, and just be there. A child needs to be acknowledged as well. I struggle with this one a bit to define acknowledging a child. But I think so often we meet people, we meet them on grown-up terms, we shake hands, we introduce each other. When I think of acknowledging my child, I will say, and this is my son Tristan, or this is my son Cedric. Acknowledge them. They're there as well. They're my son, my child. They deserve to be recognized and acknowledged as this is part of me. This is my child. They need to hear that. We know it. They're my children. But they need to hear that I identify with them. They are mine. I'm not ashamed to call them mine. God the Father loves his Son. Our youngsters need lots and lots of love. I love you simply because you're mine. Children need more than clothing, food, and shelter from you fathers. They thrive on love. We studied love in our Sunday school today. And sometimes love is not always the natural response. Love is not always felt, maybe. But loving our children all the time, every time, is very, very key to a child's development. Some of you work with children that maybe, sometimes we say they just thrive on the love that they feel there. Some of you are going to Northwest Bay to teach Bible school. I've been there. I've noticed those children respond very well to love. They just soak it up like a sponge. They are just, you love those children, you will find yourself surrounded with children. Children are attracted to love. They need it. They know they need it. And if they don't receive it, they, without even knowing, will react in ways that adults will sometimes will catch on that they're simply asking to be loved. Affirmation. Children need a father's affirmation. If your children don't receive this, they will experience all kinds of grief and frustration. I love you not because of what you have done for me, but simply because you are my child. that is reason enough. I affirm you with the choices you make as you grow older. I affirm you in, you name it. I've got you. I've got your back. You've got my blessing. Go out and live. Our daughters need to hear that they are beautiful, and our sons need to know that daddy thinks they are the real deal. Our children need that, and they get that from their daddies. Fathers have a responsibility to share that with their children. Recently, I enjoyed a discussion with a friend of mine who has two daughters. And by the way, he's not from Indiana, so don't try to figure out who it was. But we were in a discussion about his daughters. They're graduating high school, and they're getting older. And I said, aren't you a little worried, you know, what might happen in a few years here when these boys come calling? And how does that make you feel? I asked him. His response was sobering, but he just remarked that he believes that a girl that has her father's affirmation is far less likely to attract the kind of fellow that worries daddies. His daughters, I think, from knowing him, will have received that affirmation, that love, that confirmation. Also, on the flip side of that, if young fellows also have the affirmation of their father, there will be far less worried girl dads. Far less worried girl dads. If our young men have that affirmation, they have a dad that has built that into them. Moving on, fatherhood and fatherlessness are huge issues in our society today. Fatherlessness, being without a father, adversely affects individuals, our families, our neighborhoods, our churches, our cities, and our nation. Studies show that fatherlessness impacts education, poverty levels, social behaviors, emotional care, development, and a list of other factors that are essential to our children's well-being. Currently in the U.S., and I think this was from maybe 2015 or 16, somewhere there, roughly 45 million children under the age of 18 go to bed at night with no father present. Father facts state in America, 24 million children, 33%, live in a biological father absent home in 2010. 20.3 million live with no father, biological, adoptive, or step in the home. That's a lot of children that are growing up without fathers, without daddies. These are not just numbers. They're children like our own that are born and need daddies in their lives. They long for daddy's love and affection. However, each day the hole in their soul remains a barren canyon because a father is not present to fulfill the longing of their young hearts. Fathers, have you thought about the mission field right in your own homes? We have an opportunity right in our own homes. There are many mission endeavors in places like Haiti, Kenya, Asia, and there are good opportunities. I wholeheartedly endorse those endeavors. They are important, just as important as our own, and they need to know about Jesus. But have you stopped to realize that our own children are our first responsibility? They need to be trained. Are we doing a good job at that? That's a question I'll put out there. Are we doing a good job with that? And I want to be careful in this next area, but think about our retention numbers, our own. Where are our own? There are many of our children that are growing up and serving the Lord where he calls them in different areas. I am not where I was raised. Many of you are not where you were raised. But I question sometimes, why? Where are our young people? What is happening? Do these statistics matter? I think they do. If we truly believe that we have what society is looking for, then how and why are our churches not bursting at the seams? If we have the answers, then why? Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For those of us with children, we have a biblical responsibility to evangelize them. Fathers, that is almost entirely up to you to set the tone in your homes. That is you, fathers. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Ye shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." The Israelites were commanded to teach their children. I take this verse to mean you teach in everyday life. You teach by example as much, if not more, than verbal instructions. Your children are watching you, fathers. They catch a lot more than what is taught. I find myself, at 44 years of age, starting to react, or maybe act more and more like my father. And sometimes I catch myself and I say, what? That is my father all over again. It may be things that I don't necessarily appreciate, but they come out. I got it from spending time with my father. Back to those retention numbers. I'm going to throw some numbers out here. And I, like I said, I want to be very careful. This church was started as a group of Amish concerned people with missions. They wanted to pursue missions. And I want to affirm that. I want to endorse that. I want to say that was very noteworthy. That was very, very good to do. But back to these Amish communities. I did some research. And these Amish communities that we're very familiar with in the U.S. and Canada are growing at about a rate of 5% population every year. They're doubling their population approximately every 20 to 23 years. And we say they don't have a heart for missions so much. I think they have a mission in their homes. There's something there. We may not endorse that lifestyle entirely, but there's something to be learned there with raising young people that catch the vision and stay there. And once again, I want to be careful with that. Please, please don't take this as me harping that our church should be full of everyone that was born here. I don't feel that way. But fathers, we are called to teach and train our children. Most men can father a child, but this training and teaching is not something that just happens. We are men, after all, and we are driven to succeed. We will win, we will succeed financially every time if it is up to us, and often at the expense of those closest to us. Too often we define success by material things rather than by the way our children grow up and react. We are busy with many good things and programs, but we need to remember that we are called to take care of our own first. Our children know all too well what is important to us and what we are passionate about. They will learn those things well. I was blessed again to hear you mention things about your fathers today that stuck with you, positive things. Gene, you're not the first man that I heard say that his father is his favorite preacher. That's saying a lot. That is saying a lot. Gene's father was passionate about his responsibilities. Preaching the word, taking care of his own, and Gene latched onto that. 1 Timothy 3:5, "For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God?" And this is talking about the qualifications for a pastor or bishop, shepherd of the church. It does also bring out a fact that I think fathers are to be leaders in their homes. We are called to lead. We are called to shepherd our children, to pastor our children, if you will, to nurture them. 1 Timothy 5:8 also says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." We are instructed to take care of our own, those in our own households. I am suggesting this verse can apply to emotional and spiritual needs as well as physical needs of our families. We are called to meet those needs. Every child has them. Every child needs them, met by their fathers. Then there's also our culture we live in, our Western culture, where males are typically made fun of. And I get it. We have broad shoulders, dads do. We can take those simple dad jokes, maybe. But what's behind some of these? Dad is the one who finds himself in hot water or ridiculed for doing and responding in natural man ways. He gets thrown under the bus for standing up and voicing his opinion. "Oh, it's just dad." We are told by culture that dad is just old-fashioned and out of touch with reality. We hear terms like, and I hesitate to use this one, but the old man. I hate that term for a dad. That is, my old man, I just do not like it. I do not like it. I think we do better than that. We need to. Let's stop. Let's not absorb so much of that secular culture where that is so prevalent. Let's honor our fathers. Those fathers that trained us and raised us. The book of Proverbs is full of instructions for fathers and sons. It often uses the term sons, and I would like to apply it to children today in general. Sometimes it does mean sons. There are specific instructions given to sons. Fathers, if you raise sons that are taught well, that will go a long ways. Girls need daddies too, for sure, but there are a lot of fundamental life lessons that boys need fathers to teach them. Mothers are critical in raising well-balanced children, but I think a father's role in raising godly sons is irreplaceable. Fathers, men, if you see or know of boys that do not have a father to teach them, I encourage you to fill that father role. Be the man in the boy's life that helps him through the tough years of learning who God is and what it means to be a man of God. Proverbs 1, I'm going to go through some verses in Proverbs now with examples. Proverbs 1:8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother." Proverbs 2:1, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Proverbs 3:1, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." Proverbs 4:1, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Proverbs 4:10, "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many." Proverbs 4:20, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." Notice the emphasis on sons listening to the instructions of their fathers. Children need to hear dad and how he believes, what he believes, and why he believes things. John MacArthur says, "As fathers go, so go nations, so go generations, so goes history." And so God took the principles, the basic principles of spiritual living, and packaged them in the 31 chapters that we call Proverbs. There are many, many, many instructions given in Proverbs. If we as fathers raise our children, or more specifically our sons, according to Proverbs, we will raise leaders that will lead our communities to godliness. If we teach our sons trivial things, we will raise fathers who will teach their sons trivial things. If we teach our sons deep things, they will also teach their sons deep things. The cycle goes on. We are so much like our fathers, it's scary sometimes. What should be the primary goal of us fathers? I think we covered a lot of it. Let's flesh this out a bit. Let's just use some practical terms, maybe. One little boy remarked that the primary duty of his dad was to take out the trash. That's probably one thing he saw his dad do regularly. A chore, he identified with a chore. He was given chores. That's one that his dad did. We may smile, we may chuckle at that. I hope his father had a better idea of it than that. The primary duty of our fathers is not bringing home the bacon, as it were. It is not fixing things that are broken. We do that. Fathers do that a lot. That is not our primary goal. These are all tasks that we as fathers do and often do well. Our primary purpose should be to teach our children holy living, primarily our sons. The book of Proverbs speaks a lot about fathers teaching wisdom. Wisdom has several words that are used in Proverbs, like understanding and instruction and discretion. Those are the things fathers teach their sons and their daughters. Fathers, our sons need to be taught wisdom. Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. You might be asking, how do I teach wisdom? Teach your children who God is, number one. Teach them who God is. Read them Bible stories. Read them the Bible. Teach them who God is. Teach them about God. Teach them by giving an example of a father that acts like and imitates God. We are instructed in Ephesians 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Malachi alluded to the fact that it is proven that our perception of God is largely based on the way we look up to and relate to our fathers. That is sobering if we realize that our children will tend to look at God a lot like they look at us. It happens. It happens over and over and over, and has for generations. Fear God and keep his commandments. How do we fear God, you might ask? We teach our children that God is holy, God is powerful, God is omnipresent, God does not change. I think that was another one we heard this morning. His Father does not change. He's consistent. God is just. He is righteous. God is merciful. God is gracious. He's kind and loving. God is sovereign. Our children need to reverence the greatness of God. They need to understand how God feels about sin. They need to know where sin comes from. They need to be taught the Bible. Our children need to be taught to worship. Our children need to develop healthy ways of thinking and processing. As they get older, they may need room to wrestle deep questions about God that need answers. Give them room. Give them room to wrestle with those questions. A wise father will give space, but will always be available to help when needed, and will be able to discern when that is the case. It takes wisdom, fathers. It takes being in tune. It takes maybe the help of your wife to know what's going on in your children's lives. But it is your responsibility. It is your responsibility to pursue them. Show them how God is. Our children also need to learn to trust God. How does that happen? You might ask, how does that happen? How can we teach our children to trust God when we can't even see him? They learn by trusting you, Father. They trust you. Sadly, there are stories of people who have a hard time trusting God, and it often stems back to a parent or father letting them down. In a critical moment in life, Dad was missing in action. No earthly father is perfect. Perfection is not what defines a trustworthy father. Admit and apologize when you are wrong or say things that are hurtful and wrong. And if you're like me, those things happened. You will say things and do things that are not right. Be willing to say, I'm sorry. Look your child in the eyes and tell them, I'm sorry. They need to hear Dad say, I'm sorry. Young children are quick, very quick to forgive. They need to know that Dad's not perfect, but I can still trust him because Dad loves me and Dad wants good things for me. I have a list of things here that I found in a message that was preached by John MacArthur. I'd like to go over this list. Some of them I fleshed out a bit. Some of them I left as he had it. Number one, if you fail, Father, to teach your son to fear God, the devil will teach him to hate God. Number two, if you fail to teach your son to guard his mind, the devil will gladly teach him to have an open mind. We men learned in our Conquer series last spring that addictions and vices are often the result of hurts from fathers. Teach your sons how to guard their minds. Teach them that you are trustworthy as a father. Teach them to trust God. But yes, to guard his mind. Number three, if you fail to teach your son to obey his parents, the devil will teach him to rebel and break his parents' heart. Our children need to be taught to respect authority. A proper understanding of the headship order as laid out in Scripture will make it so much easier for our children in life if they understand it. They may turn their back on it, but if they have a clear understanding of how that works, it makes it so much easier. The next one, if you fail to teach your son to select his friends, the devil will gladly choose them for him. How many of you help your sons or your children select their friends? I think in our community here, our children's friends are generally good friends. We may be somewhat excluded from this, for young children especially, but as they grow older, it is important that children choose their friends wisely, not just whoever makes them feel good or whoever accepts them or whoever, you know. And we're talking maybe the way gangs operate in some of our cities. Children get drawn into that. They find acceptance. They find things in these groups that their fathers did not give them. They find them there, sadly. If you fail to teach your son to control his body, the devil will teach him to give it over completely to lust. This one ties in very well with the point prior to guarding our minds. Teach your children, especially your sons, to control his body. The next one is, if you fail to teach your son to enjoy the marriage partner that God has given him, the devil will teach him to destroy the marriage. It has been said that a father loving a child's mother is one of the most important things a father can do. Children need to see you love their mother. I don't understand how it works, but children thrive on knowing that mom and dad care for each other. It is incredibly important that your children know that your marriage, your home, your little world is secure. Those of you with children can probably relate to a child physically warming his way between husband and wife because they want to be there. That's where they want to be. You can be sitting on a couch or sitting on lawn chairs or sitting anywhere, and they'll come and they'll warm their way right in there because that's where they want to be. Children caught up in divorce are usually damaged more than the couple is because of the foundation. Their security, their world is shaken and broken. This hurts our children. I think it's quite okay when a child complains that you and mom always stick up for each other. I'm okay with that, and I hear it sometimes. They know, they should know, there's no sense in asking mom after dad said no, because she's going to say the same thing. And if she's not sure, a wise parent will say, well, I need to talk to dad first. And the children know this is not going to go the way they wanted it to, perhaps because there's no difference between mom and dad's word. It's the same. Should be. Consistency is key for children. They thrive when mom and dad are on the same page. Back to the parents. It's okay to disagree occasionally. I think it's healthy to disagree in dialogue. But don't do it within earshot of the children. This can happen when they're somewhere else. You can discuss your differences. When they're involved, when they're looking on, you need to be on a team. The next point I'd like to make, if you fail to teach your son to watch his words, the devil will fill his mouth with filth. If you fail to teach your son to pursue his work, the devil will make his laziness a tool of hell. If you fail to teach your son to manage his money, the devil will teach him to waste it on riotous living. And that is making references to the prodigal son, riotous living. If you fail to teach your son to love his neighbor, devil will gladly teach him to love only himself. Each of these points I made, doing nothing will produce the opposite of what we all want for our children. Godly parents are not passive parents. Godly daddies are not passive. They are on the offense. Always. Playing defense in parenting is usually not a great idea. It happens. It happens. But try to stay ahead of it. Try to be involved. Try to be there. In our society today, the results of failing to teach are rampant. The results of weak fathers are seen frequently. There's a saying by G. Michael Hoff, "Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times." I'd like to read that again. Hard times create strong fathers. Strong fathers create good times. Good times create weak fathers, and weak fathers create hard times. Men, we are called to rise up and lead and teach. Our children are depending on it. It's theirs. They need it. We owe it to them. Ephesians 6:4, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." This is a verse in the New Testament that specifically addressed to fathers. And we do well to touch on this one. In our parenting, fathers, do not demand unreasonable things, unreasonable goals and ideals. They will be children. Let them be children. Don't expect perfection out of your children. You may find it at work in your team, but let that at work. When you come home, they are children. And they need to be children. Discipline, when required, needs to be done in love. There are far too many cases in so-called Christian circles where discipline or spanking is done in fits of anger. Don't do that. Don't do that. Be sure you are calm and take time to explain to the child why this needs to happen. Discipline administered and love works. It is a biblical principle that is taught in the Bible. Lack of discipline or done in anger does not produce desired results. Discipline and anger may force the child to comply, but will eventually result in the child rejecting the parent and walking away. You can force a child to do what you want him to. And you may feel like you won, but you've just lost if you're forcing them to do. Discipline and anger teaches the child that anger is an acceptable reaction. If I get angry, people do what I want them to. Please, please, let's not teach that. That is not the way a Christian father should discipline his children. Colossians 3:21 also very similar to that verse. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Be sensitive to your children. What works for one may not work for number two. Be careful not to discourage them with your ideals. Be reasonable. I think you understand the balance of raising children that are independent and have a drive to live and do well to one that is forced into submission. And we call that brokenness, where there's just no incentive there. We don't want that either. Fathers, you're responsible to teach, train, nurture these children. Some of you may be feeling a bit overwhelmed. I am, to be honest with you. There's many areas I do not do like I should. Some of us may have had fathers that did not do this, were absent. They may have been there, but they did not invest the time into our lives. There's grace. There's grace. If your father didn't, perhaps, raise you and train you like this, it's just an opportunity for you to realize, you know what? I may not know how to do this. And you go to the Word of God and learn. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you teach your children. There is grace. Thank God for grace in these areas. And for you fathers that are in the thick of it, keep on going. It's worth it. These children grow up so fast, and you have so little time to inject those truths. Hopefully this can be an encouragement to you as we raise our children, and hopefully we can raise them to know who God is. After all, that is our responsibility, is to raise children that honor and glorify God. That's all I have, so let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, God. We thank you for this day that we had to worship you. Thank you that we could gather together like this. Father, I just pray that you would bless every father that's here this morning. Would you bless them with wisdom? Would you bless them with an appreciation for your word that teaches us how to father our children? Teach them. Help us to teach them to grow up, to love you, and follow your word, your Bible, Father, in every area of life. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. You are the Father of perfection. You are perfect, Father. And we need to learn to trust you, follow you, and mimic what you do, just as our children do to us here on earth, Father. Guide our thoughts, guide our lives. Direct us in your ways. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.